I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
The Jets feel-good spring comes crashing to a halt with the start of OTAs. Now, I'm just kidding, of course, but we have learned over the last couple of weeks that not all of the Jets are super happy right now. We're going to get into that. Aaron Rodgers also got hurt on Tuesday, only with the Jets here. I'm Tim McMaster alone, Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn. Welcome into the Can't Wait podcast. A lot to get to that really just, we were like, well, the, you know, Aaron's going to practice, like we should do a pod the day after. And then kind of all this other stuff has come up in the meantime. So we're going to get to Aaron Rodgers. It's minor injury that doesn't seem like a big deal at all. We're going to talk about Mekhi Becton. We're also going to talk about Quinnen Williams, his contract situation, and the news today that the Jets are hosting Matt Araiza, the punter formerly drafted by the Bills. We'll get into that as well. Zach, Marissa, how are you guys doing?
Good. I just want to wish you guys a happy belated National Iced Coffee Day. I believe that was yesterday.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Very important holiday in my life.
That National holiday for Zach, yeah.
That I just discovered existed yesterday.
How did you celebrate?
By drinking iced coffee.
All day. One extra?
Oh, yeah, I was just drinking it the entire day. But yeah, how you guys doing? It's beautiful outside, and we're inside doing a podcast.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. Marissa, how are you?
I've been good. Right. Baby countdown. I can't wait to have an iced coffee. I have not had any.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I've not had any coffee.
Should we have listeners predict the date?
Yeah, I know. It's getting close. My due date is July.
They've been pretty
2nd.
Good with the over-unders on our times. We got on the over today.
Except I'm hoping it's not an over.
Yeah, we don't want an over. Yeah, we want you right on time. Yeah.
Yes, right on time or like a little before. After 37 weeks or 38 weeks.
Yeah, my sister-in-law... Not to get too sidetracked here, but this is the tradition of Can't Wait. My sister-in-law, when they were having their second baby, I was like staying at their house to watch my nephew. Like I was just staying with them until it was going to happen. It was during the pandemic, so I didn't have to like drive up the Giants practice as much. She kept going later and later. It was like a week and a half later. And then she finally, of course, has the baby like the day I'm like up covering a Giants game. So they have a friend come watch my nephew. Like, but yeah, she was like miserable. It was like a week and a half, 2 weeks after her due date or something.
Yeah, so I mean, doing well. Just trying to get as prepared as possible. I know any parents listening to this podcast will know there's really like only so much you can really prepare for. So, but yeah, very excited. So
we're excited for you.
Yeah, thanks.
And we're excited for Tim's haircut. I've seen some people complimenting. I think it deserves
already. Wow, look at that. Yeah. You know, people that are longtime viewers and listeners of Can't Wait podcast remember this haircut because before the pandemic, this was actually how it was if you're watching on YouTube. But then when you get into a pandemic and you don't go outside much, and you're like,
what's the point?
I don't want to get
my haircut.
And you
have a baby.
You guys should have seen my beard during the pandemic. It was gnarly. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys would be shocked at how long it was.
Yeah.
So basically, I made the decision last week. You know what? It's time. It's time. It's been 3 years. It's time to return to normalcy. So
there you go.
So here we go. Yeah.
Speaking of normalcy,
never thought
Aaron Rodgers.
Speaking of normalcy, yeah. Nothing normal about the Jets.
So get your predictions into the chat on Marissa.
Yes.
July 2nd, the due date. Let us know when you think.
That's the over-under, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And with that... Let's move on to these New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, because he did speak to the media after, I guess he got a little bit of a workout in before the slight calf injury, but nobody got to see that part of it. But he said, it's been a dream month so far, Zach. Has it been a dream month for you?
I mean, a dream month in the sense that I've been able to relax a little bit. Like that, for me, that's a dream. After the chaos of this offseason or lack of chaos where we were stressing about stuff happening, like it's been nice to relax a little bit. Of course, then, you know, Quinn and stuff and Mekhi stuff happens. But I think the first Aaron Rodgers practice with the media present could not have gone any differently. It was the most perfect Jets debut for him. There's so much, probably the most media that maybe ever has shown up to Florham Park for a practice, or this time of the year at least. Like, there, it was like insane. There was no space anywhere. The parking was nuts. There
was, I was gonna so say, cameras. Did you have to like park in like an auxiliary lot or anything, or is there a
no, just like
Rosenblatt
really far back?
Spot.
So the Jets media parking, which is very compelling content for these people. It's like a long
very
road.
Far, right?
And people enjoy this stuff.
Usually we're able to park like up front, but this time there was like both sides are both completely occupied. So you had to go all the way down and U-turn and park. Anyway, you know, it's a small media room where we do our press conferences. So when Saleh did hit, it was packed. When CJ Uzama came after practice for his, he like looked at the crowd and was like, God damn. Even Rodgers of all people was like the cameras, there was a lot of cameras in there and they were very loud, and there's a lot
not
of cameras
in Green
in the back.
Bay anymore.
Yeah. At one point he looked up and he like got distracted by like how many people were in there. So it was like, yeah, it was, I told people and they were surprised by this, but I said it was like this most days on the Eagles beat, because it like maybe not like to that degree, but like pretty close. Like there would be most days where there'd be that many cameras and reporters, and you know,
well, you were covering like Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and I was covering the Carson Wentz era. Yeah,
yeah, and like I right covered after the Super Bowl. I mean, not to date myself, but I covered the McNabb era, and
right,
and nice. That. But the auditorium in Philly, like it's a legit auditorium.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
the
that, exactly. Which is helpful.
It's big,
but
it's
yeah,
also
anyway,
dark so, and easy to fall asleep in. But
yes, but. So all that as the context, and then we get to practice and we don't see him throw a single ball. Like it was like quintessential Jets. Like I think there's no need to overreact. Like it wound up being minor. I wasn't really worried about it being significant even in the moment, because you saw him. So he did like the warm-ups in the beginning, and then he went into the building briefly, came back out without his helmet, was kind of talking to the strength coach for a while. And then it was clear he wasn't practicing anymore, but he still walked onto the practice field. He was observing the quarterbacks during position drills. He was observing the team during team drills. He was talking to some guys. Like, if it was significant or serious, I don't think he would have been out there. So, and he's, right. And he said he wasn't worried. It was a strained calf, I believe is what he said. You know, he's 39 years old. You know, I'm guessing those things happen sometimes. I guess that's
getting
the risk
out of bed sometimes.
Yeah. Getting out of bed, you know, and he's not in like, it's not like game shape time of the year necessarily. So, and he said he took a vet day just out of precaution. So nothing to worry about. But, you know, I even saw the New York Post, like, back page, like, headline, like, over-dramatize it, not shockingly. But it was kind of like a same old Jets thing. There was, like, a photo of Jets fans with bags on their head and stuff. Like, it was, like, way over the top. But it's May 24th, and we're already doing that, which is just, like, a great preview for Rodgers with the Jets and for all of us to, you know, this is how – some things are never going to change. It's going to be weird at all times here.
Yeah.
It is. So one of the things that I think it was Uzama that talked about it was that even though he wasn't in that second part of practice, that Rodgers in general has been talking a lot and motivating a lot. And I think he said at one point the message from him was basically like, get your shit together, right? So yeah. That, I mean, he's it's cool that, because we had talked long ago and we've talked about it a lot, would he skip this stuff? Right, and just show up in training camp. And he's not skipping this stuff, although now he has an excuse to miss a little bit, I guess. And he's clearly very engaged.
Yeah, you know, I think he hadn't been to OTAs to this degree since 2019, which is a pretty long time. But yeah, you know, the CJ Uzama thing, like, there's multiple things. CJ talked about it a bit. Rodgers talked about it a bit. One thing is that Rodgers has been very active in meetings. Like, he like kind of takes control of a lot of the offensive meetings, where if something's happening, he like stops it to like say something or have a conversation with these guys, because he wants everybody like to get things in there. Like, he talks like a coach in a lot of ways, and he's basically a co-offensive coordinator, honestly, I would say, with Hackett. I think they have that kind of rapport where they're kind of working together to build this thing. But yeah, so he's pretty active in the meetings with like stopping things, conversation, you know, if Hackett says something, Rodgers feels comfortable enough to like say, hey, you know, let's talk about that for a second kind of thing, which, you know, he even said, he's like, I didn't get the vibe that that's kind of how it's been here is what he said in his press conference. And then with the calling them out thing, he said, and Uzama said, that the offense like wasn't having a great practice. And Rodgers said the thing was, attention to detail and ball security. He didn't think that both of those were things that they were doing very well. So he pulled everybody aside. He's like, we can't do this shit. And he told a story about Ryan Grant, who's a former Packers running back, who he said, you know, at the end of every run in practice, he would run to the end zone no matter what. And then Jordy Nelson, when he was a rookie, saw him doing that. So Jordy Nelson started doing the same thing. And Rodgers' message to all the guys was, you know, if you want to stand out, especially for guys fighting for a roster spot, you should finish every play, because then a coach is going to call you out in a positive way in the film room. And then all of a sudden everybody's going to start doing that. And so he just made a really good point about, like, the details matter. And I think the details is, you know, if you look at last season in particular, there was a lot of, like, small things that would happen in those losses, especially early in the season. As the season got later and they started losing by a little bit more, maybe not as much, but like, the details were definitely an issue last year, especially on offense. So you know, it's a good message, especially this time of the year, and you hope it gets through to them. And it's been interesting. You know, I think we're in the honeymoon phase. I think we all have to remind ourselves that. I think, you know, every story is going to be a positive one right now. There's not going to be anything bad coming out of camp. Everybody's loving Rodgers. Like, DJ Reed was as smiley as I've seen him, and he's already a happy guy. And he, you know, I the first question I asked DJ Reed at his press conference was like, what's the vibe been around the building, both getting Rodgers and, like, everything you guys have done this offseason? And he's like, it's lit. You know, everybody comes to work happy. And somebody followed up, because I kind of, like, left it open to not only being about Rodgers. And somebody's like, can like, one person really have that big of an impact? He's like, yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers has that. Like, they're being pretty open about, you know, everybody's starstruck, it seems like, which I'm sure will wear off at some point. Like I said, honeymoon phase. The Jets fans should enjoy this right now, because you're going to be mad at some point when the season starts. So be happy that everybody's happy right now. Well, not everybody's happy, which we're going to get into. But
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At some point, you don't want your teammates to be starstruck. You want them to just be like, okay, this is our quarterback, right? Not this is the future Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Rodgers. So hopefully over the next few weeks they get to that point. Everybody praising Aaron Rodgers. Obviously somewhere in that locker room, Zach Wilson is hanging out and going about his business. And he's a guy who thinks that about Aaron Rodgers. Right? He said it for a long time, how much he loves Aaron Rodgers. When the Jets practiced in Green Bay last summer, that was a big deal. So Wilson became QB1 yesterday for practice. 12 of 14, I guess, made some nice throws. This has never been the issue with Zach, like these types of practices, but he's getting reps, I guess, right now, thanks to Rodgers' little tweak.
Yeah, you know, I like live tweeting this stuff just because, you know, fans aren't getting at it. Like, there's some reporters who get all, you know, hoity-toity about, like, tweeting stuff that's happening in an OTA practice. I say, who cares? Like, fans aren't there, and I'm trying to provide them with, like, what I'm seeing. And so, you know, Zach Wilson had a good day. It was 7-on-7. You know, half the defense starting defense wasn't there, and there was no contact and, you know, no pads and all that stuff. So take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, he looked good. He had a bad throw to Garrett Wilson that, like, hit off Garrett Wilson's helmet and was nearly picked off. And I think that was one of only two incompletions he had that I saw all day. He had a really good throw to Garrett Wilson later where it was tight coverage. DJ Reed was on Garrett Wilson. DJ Reed even talked after practice about, like, how impressive of a play it was from Zach. He, like, improvised, like, Garrett kind of changed his route on the fly because he saw an opening, and Zach saw that and hit Garrett Wilson, and who dove and caught it. It was pretty impressive. And then he had another great throw in the middle of the field to Irv Charles. And someone else, I think Andy Vasquez from NJ.com, pointed out there's a play where he went through his progressions, which, you know, it was something that was an issue in games last year, and he like landed on like his last target on one of the plays in the red zone, I believe. These are all positive things, and you know, I don't think you should take anything away from it necessarily, but at the very least, it's, you know, he didn't have a bad day, which is positive. And I think, you know, if Zach Wilson can keep doing this throughout the summer, build some confidence going to training camp, he's going to get a lot of reps in the preseason, I think, which is going to be really where we can judge where Zach is and how much being around Rodgers and all the criticism he's gotten and everybody moving on from him has motivated him. I don't think there's anything to necessarily take away from Wilson playing well other than that he played well. And, you know, you take what you can get this time of the year. These are only tidbits that we're able to provide people. So I was impressed. Doesn't mean anything, but I was.
The, you know, listening to you talk about Aaron Rodgers in the quarterback room and kind of helping to build the offense the way he is and taking command of that room, I feel like all that stuff too can't hurt. Like Zach Wilson being in there, hearing this stuff, hearing it from the quarterback and not just the coaching staff. Because let's be honest, one of the things there where this team failed Zach Wilson was having that leadership beyond just the offensive coordinator. They tried to do it. Obviously, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, tragically did not work out. But like, it's still a fact that that happened. And maybe this helps him in that sense, too.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be on an interesting career trajectory where he's getting the time learning from a veteran that he should have to start his career, honestly. Like, yep. You know, I think a lot of people talk about how these quarterbacks are rushed in now more than ever. And Aaron Rodgers is maybe the best example of all time of a guy who waited and learned a lot. Like, if you ask him, he has a lot of stories about what he learned sitting behind Brett Favre for 3 years and the things he studied. And, you know, he's a different mind than most people. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, a lot of it's about the situation you go into. Packers and Chiefs are both situations that were good teams. The Jets weren't a good team when Zach Wilson arrived, which is another reason why maybe he shouldn't have played. I think the Jets have acknowledged, and I think they know that they really, you know, they really messed it up with him when he came into the league. That roster was not good around him that first year. It was a pretty brutal roster. I think Aaron Rodgers, even after their joint practice, Zach Wilson's rookie year, I think he even like was quoted at some point saying like, Zach's going to have some trouble behind that offensive line. Like, And Rodgers has talked, I think, publicly about how quarterbacks should wait. And so, like I was saying, so Zach Wilson is having, like, this, like, a weird timeline thing where he started right away, which he shouldn't have, had the NFL experience, which didn't go well, but he had the experience. And now he's going to take a step back, learn from a great quarterback, and then you hope that helps him. But, you know, the timeline is going to be weird for the Jets because by the time Wilson might be ready to play, they're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. Like, it's – maybe he should have been sitting this whole time and then this was the year that he would have started playing or something like that. But here we are, and you know, maybe this year will be good for him. If he doesn't have to get thrown into the fire with Rodgers like getting hurt or whatever, this could be a very valuable lesson for Wilson, whether it's when he's with the Jets a year from now or if he's with another team. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how Zach handles it. By all accounts, it's been positive so far. We haven't talked to him yet. I can't imagine we will for a little while. But yeah, this is make or break for his career. So I think he has to really like take what he can from being behind him.
Before we get to the off the field stuff, this came in the chat from Brendan. Maybe way too early for this, Zach, but has anybody else kind of stood out on the field through these light practices?
Well, no, just because I would say Jeremy Rucker was getting a lot of targets yesterday. So that's something new. I would say, and this is going to get in, you know, bump against what we're going to talk about at some point. I mean, Mekhi Becton's had one of the best off seasons in terms of.
Well, let's transition there. Yeah. That's where we're going next. So, well, yeah. We can go there next. Let's shift the rundown a little.
Yeah, we can shift it. Like I think Mekhi's had a great off season because, you know, he's done a good job of publicizing it, which helps obviously. But, you know, he's in great shape. Like he looks like the photos are legit. Like he looks like he's in great, great shape. There was a story in Newsday, which we're going to get into. But I think he's something down to something like 340, 345 when he weighed himself at the beginning of the year. I think he was like 370. And I think when he was injured either last year or the year before, he was up to 400. Like this is a guy that has obviously struggled with his weight. And, you know, a year ago, he wasn't practicing with the Jets and it was like a big issue. And the Jets, you know, I think they were pretty unhappy with him last year. And like you remember, he went to that press conference with a shirt about being a bust and then he wound up getting hurt again. I mean, we're going to get into some of why he thinks he got hurt again. But I think he's had a really good offseason in terms of getting in shape. And like we've talked, I've said this on here over and over again. I view him as like an X factor because He has the most talent of any of their offensive linemen. And if he's healthy and, you know, stays healthy and stays in shape, like, he could really change the ceiling of that offensive line, because then you have AVT, who, when healthy, is a Pro Bowl caliber guy. Dwayne Brown's still a solid player when he's healthy. Laken Tomlinson should be better in his second year here. And I think Joe Tippmann will be an upgrade over McGovern in the, at center if he wins that job. So I think it could be a very good offensive line if Mekhi Becton is firing on all cylinders.
All right, so as far as the Newsday story, Becton came out and basically blamed the Jets for the injury, saying the reason he got hurt was because he was moved over to the right side, and it was against his will, so to him, that he wanted to be playing on the left side. I don't think it's not a great look, Zach. I mean, look at Elijah Vera Tucker, who was moved all over the line, yeah, right? And granted, I mean, he got hurt too, but...
That was his arm, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's the NFL, man. Like, it may be decided that you're not going to play left tackle. Like, you know, you got to deal with it. You can't blame the team because they tried to move you to a position where you would be, in that situation, a bigger help to the team, and then complain that that's why you got hurt.
Yeah, it's... You know, on one hand, I get he's highly motivated to prove that he's a left tackle. Like, that was where this all started, was he had a tweet where he said, "I am a left tackle," and Robert Salas responded to it. And then the story came out in Newsday, which was a really good story by Bob Glauber, where I think the purpose of the story was to get into, like, his transformation and how he got to this point and stuff.
Right, but obviously the headline becomes, like, the throwaway line, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know if there's merit to what he said, but no matter what, if your goal is, you know, this is a guy who just had his option declined, he's not locked into a starting job. Left tackle, you know, I think Dwayne Brown is penciled in as their left tackle. I would be surprised if they did not play Dwayne Brown at left tackle. You don't bring him back unless you plan on playing him. So, you know, it was just an interesting choice by him to criticize the coaching staff as he's in a prove it year fighting for a job. I don't think that will affect their, you know, if he's the best option at right tackle when training camp starts, which, you know, they're not going to hesitate to put him at right tackle, even if he doesn't like it. If he's the best option, they'll still put him there, even if, you know, he's not happy. I do think, you know, maybe some of it was he didn't have a great relationship with the previous offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, but also Robert Saleh is like the CEO of the coaching staff. Like, he knew, he was involved with the decision making of putting him at right tackle. Like, you know, I think one of the quotes was like he told them he didn't want to play right tackle or it was a bad idea, and they said stop complaining, or, like, I forget what the exact quote was from him. But, you know, ultimately, if he's highly motivated, that's a good thing. And I never fault guys for speaking their truth, because that's all we want from these guys. You know, we always get mad when these players, like, tell obvious lies or they talk around things. Like, I do appreciate him, like, speaking from his heart, and I hope he keeps doing that. Like, for his own sake, I just don't know if it's a great idea to talk about your coaching staff like that when you're still on the team. Like, maybe you should have waited until he left the Jets to say that, but he clearly wanted to get something off his chest, and he did. And now he has to back it up. Like, if we get to training camp and he's not the best option, he's not going to start, and then that story is going to be lingering in people's minds. If he goes on the field and he plays well, then nobody's even going to think about that stuff. So ultimately, if he's playing in week one, then they're in good shape.
Saleh took the high road for the most part, talking about it when asked about it, basically just praising Becton for all the work he's put in, and then said, quote, he's in the best shape of his life. But then also added that Becton's desire to play left tackle will not impact where the team decides to play him, which is exactly what you just said, which is how it has to be. I mean, that's just facts. All right, I think that's good on Becton. So the news this morning we should get to for the Jets is that they're hosting Matt Araiza for a workout. That name's probably familiar to big NFL fans. Drafted by the Bills, sixth rounder a year ago, 2022, was slotted to be their starting punter. He was released in August, 2 days after a lawsuit was filed accusing him and two of his former teammates at San Diego State of rape of a 17-year-old girl. That has now, no charges were ever brought. The district attorney in San Diego decided late last year not to press criminal charges. So Araiza has been cleared, basically, at this point. Still, there's a feel-good spring for the Jets. You have Aaron Rodgers here. you signed a punter. It just seems like a weird move for the Jets to bring in a guy that's going to bring that baggage with him, even to our meeting.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to throw in any hot takes about a punter. This is obviously one of the more controversial ones you could possibly bring into the building, whatever you think about his situation. You know, they have Thomas Morstead, who they gave a fully guaranteed deal. It's a small deal. It's like a minimum, but it's fully guaranteed, which, you know, you don't want to just throw $1 million away, especially since they don't have a lot of cap space. So maybe it's just sometimes teams bring in guys for workouts so they can, you know, if they need somebody later in the year with an injury or on the practice squad, maybe they're interested in bringing him in to compete with Morstead. But I don't know. The Jets were not the team I expected to be the first workout for him. Maybe they just wanted to see if he's still, you know, I know he came with, I believe he was drafted by the Bills, wasn't he?
Yes. He's a sixth round.
Yeah.
He obviously came with a
huge reputation.
Yeah. Came with a huge reputation, big foot, but I don't know if punter is the spot you want to be bringing in a controversial guy. Like what I'm not offering an opinion about the guy or anything that happened with that case or anything like that. But I just, Thomas Morstead is a solid veteran punter. He's still good. I just say just roll with that.
Yeah, and Ariza has, you know, throughout the whole thing, he has said he was innocent of it. And like I said, no charges were brought. So so we'll see how that plays out with that position, you know, if he's just in for a day and then maybe he's a guy they call on later in the season. Certainly interesting to see how that goes. But it definitely got some headlines this morning that it was the Jets. All right, the other major thing I wanted to talk about is Quinnen Williams. You wrote a story a week ago now, Zach?
I think it was a week ago.
Yeah, on Q and the contract situation. He's not at practice, obviously. Like, he wasn't going to, you know, the chances of him being at these OTAs, even when we were talking about this when the season ended, were pretty slim. But it sounds now, last Monday, he changes his Twitter bio to defensive tackle for ... which clearly is he's sending a message that I'm not happy with where things are going. We didn't expect the deal to be done at this point, I don't think, Zach, but I don't think we expected there to be some negativity like this either.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. You know, on one hand, you understand his frustration. You know, you're seeing all the defensive linemen get deals, and he's still, you know, not getting what he wants necessarily from the Jets. Him and his representation. He's repped by Nicole Lynn, who's one of the bigger agents in the NFL these days. You know, he wants to be paid what he believes he deserves. I just from talking to people, I get the sense that it's like they're not close to an agreement. I think maybe they're close in terms of like money, and you know, I think the money isn't the issue. I would say but there's something that the Quinnen Williams side is not getting that the Jets aren't offering, and the Jets don't feel in a rush to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if this dragged out closer to training camp. I don't know if he would plan to hold out. I'd be surprised if he held out of training camp, but I don't know. I don't know that for sure. There's mandatory minicamp on the schedule. I'm not 100% sure if they'll like do a full thing or not, just because they have an earlier training camp this year because of the Hall of Fame game. I don't know what the Browns are doing, if they're canceled, if they have one.
They finished, I think, June 8th.
Yeah, they finished. And so if the Jets didn't do mandatory minicamp, they'd finish June 9th, I think. So
Which is like a week earlier than most teams.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that the Jets aren't worried about getting a deal done. I think it's just a matter of when. The Jets are fully comfortable waiting it out, is my impression. Whether that makes Quinnen unhappy, I don't know. Like, I know Jets fans are antsy because of the history of the Jets not re-signing their draft picks. Like, they have a pretty bad history of it. And he was teammates with Jamal Adams and Leonard Williams, and they were both traded before getting to the second contract. And, you know, it's a interesting thing because most teams don't give a guy a second contract because they're not good. The Jets have had a lot of those, but they've also, like, not kept the good ones around. And Jamal, I know, that's not like a criticism of Joe Douglas. Like, you had to do the Jamal Adams trade. That was a ridiculous trade. And, you know, Leonard Williams, they felt like they had Quinnen and they got pretty good value on Leonard, and he wound up getting a lot of money from the Giants. So, but it's just like on paper, they haven't historically resigned them. So I get why fans are antsy. I think the Quinnen Williams side knows that history, which is, you know, maybe why they're annoyed that they're being treated that way or whatever. But the Jets also have Quinnen Williams' rights this year. He's under contract, and then they could franchise tag him next year if they wanted to, and they can franchise tag him the year after that. So the Jets, in theory, have the leverage. I do think it's important to not make your star player unhappy, especially because he's, you know, he's been such a soldier for this team and became a star. He didn't have the star level performance before this last year that he did this last year. So it's not like, he probably still has to prove that he can still play at that level of this year. I think that's definitely a thing, but yeah, so it's an interesting situation. I don't think anybody should be concerned yet. I think it's May 24th. I think it's too early to be worried about what this means for training camp and the season and stuff like that. I think Quinn and Williams is going to be a Jet this year and for a long time. They just are not at the same place in terms of what both sides want right now.
Now, you mentioned all the other tackles, you know, Daron Payne, Jeffrey Simmons.
Dexter Lawrence, yeah.
Dexter Lawrence, the four-year $90 million. There's a four-year $94 million. They're all in the same range. It seems to me, and obviously it's a lot more complicated than I'm stating this, but like it seems to me the market has sort of been set.
Yeah.
You know, you have to decide if he gets a little more than those guys or right in that range. But like, I mean, it having all those deals done to me should make this easier, but there's egos at stake and the team trying to save and all that.
And you know, the Jets might have their own wants in terms of what they want out of this contract. Like, you know, maybe Quinnen wants the same deal as the other guys, and maybe the Jets wanted to structure it a little differently. Like there's a lot of factors that go into negotiation. Sometimes it gets hostile. In my story, I use the Deebo Samuel thing as an example. Quinnen Williams has not requested a trade. I don't think he will, but Deebo Samuel requested a trade and then they signed a contract not long after he requested a trade. Like, these things,
and everything's fine now. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once you get the money, everything is fine. And that's why I think Robert Saleh has been emphatic that he is not worried at all. He called him cue ball yesterday, which I've never heard him call him before. But yeah, it's not something to fret about yet. If we get to the beginning of training camp and he doesn't report, like then you have an issue. But I'm not concerned personally.
All right. Do you want to take some questions from the chat?
Yeah, sure.
I actually have a question for Zach.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on it when we talked about Aaron Rodgers, but can you do your best Jersey Shore move? Because that was pretty pretty great quote yesterday that Aaron Rodgers was a big Jersey Shore fan.
By the way, so it's funny. I could relate to what he was saying about how his only impression of Jersey was the Jersey Shore. Because when I went to school at University of Arizona, that was when it was like in its initial prime, like the initial run. And I was out west, so nobody was from New Jersey. And so anytime I would tell people I was from New Jersey, they would say like, oh, like from the Jersey Shore. Like,
yeah.
It would make me very mad.
But that was like years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So like to still have that, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it came back, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I did look this morning. Mike the Situation had it posted on his story. The clip
of Rodgers. Really?
Paulie D had the clip on.
Oh, that's funny. Yes. I was curious if they would. Okay.
Because
Rodgers made sure to mention that he went to one of Paulie D's parties in Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
Rodgers is good. Like, you can ask him questions a bit like that and he gives a good answer. Like, so to his credit, he's great at the podium, so he's gonna be great for the media. Like, that was just started from a question about him, how he's enjoying the state of New Jersey and living here and stuff, and he said all he knew was Teterboro Airport and Jersey Shore before he got here. So
we can get to like a real question.
That was a real question.
We got Boy Green in the chat. Is Corey Davis not being at OTAs yesterday surprising? Anything to read into that?
No, I don't think it was surprising. I think there was a bunch of guys that weren't there. I think he's been at the offseason workouts throughout the offseason. So it seems like he's going to be on the team. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to work out a pay cut like they did with Carl Lawson. I'm not reporting that or anything, but it wouldn't surprise me if that he was the next in line to get a pay cut. We actually didn't mention that. Carl Lawson took a pretty decent pay cut / restructure to give the Jets like $12 million more in cap space. I get it. Like, it was a very like for the team move, like more than most restructures. The restructure is just the guy's actually just getting his money now instead of later. And it's like overhyped as helping the team, but this was an actual pay cut. And I think Carl Lawson is going to have a really good year. Personally, I think, this sidetracked off a Corey Davis question, but, I think Carl Lawson, you know, he was coming off his Achilles last year and he wasn't healthy. He still had 7 sacks and like 20 QB hits. He's going to be completely healthy going into this year. Pretty good supporting cast around him. Like, I think he's going to have a big year and then he can get a bigger payday next year, whether it's with the Jets or somewhere else. But yeah, Corey Davis, I personally don't really know what his role is going to be, and he's making a lot of money to be the fourth receiver right now, which he might be, or third. Mecole Hardman's also recovering from his injury he still had from last year, so maybe that's why they're keeping Corey around. But I get the impression they're going to keep him, but, you know, things can change too. Like if you know, if they wanted to make another move or something like that, which I don't know if
that's my next question. Yeah. There's a lot of comments in the chat about a wide receiver trade.
Yeah, like I would be surprised, but not like shocked, because the Jets are all in on trying to surround Aaron Rodgers with the supporting cast. They really thought they were going to get Odell Beckham, and they didn't, and they haven't really gotten anybody since then. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me, but yeah, it would surprise me if they went and made a major trade for a receiver at this point.
This is a fun one. How does Rodgers feel being in the presence of the legend Chris Streveler?
Great question. He did.
And is Rodgers a team hot coffee or iced coffee guy?
I don't know that.
Those are both from Dan, by the way.
Yeah.
Dan, I'll have to ask Rodgers in the locker room when we get locker room down the line if he's more of a hot or an iced coffee guy.
Okay. It's got to be. Honestly, he lived in Green Bay for.
True.
It's got to be a hot
very
coffee.
Very true.
Guy, or if he is an iced coffee guy, like, he's hardcore.
Yeah, but there's nothing like sipping a nice coffee at the Jersey Shore. Maybe it will change his mind.
Yeah, he's around here now. Yeah, it's a great point. With the Chris Traveler, he did mention when he was talking about the QB room, he did mention him by first name. So, you know, him. We got to get Strev on this podcast at some point. I think I'm going to try and make it happen this summer.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but while he's definitely still on the team, would be.
You mean forever?
Wait, did I say that?
No. Yeah.
You know, I have a little bias towards Tim Boyle, I'm not gonna
lie. Good point.
So I don't want to be like, you know,
I think Boyle will be around either way, even if he's on the practice squad.
Should actually talk about that, because we talked about this a little bit on Football GM, which is going to air tomorrow. The new rules that came this
good point.
Week and three QBs, the three QBs, it's almost like a no-brainer for teams to carry three QBs on the roster, right? That's how I'm looking at it, because they're not going to count
because one
on game
count.
Day.
Well, I guess they could still technically do practice squad, because then you could just
But you can't. You could call them up.
Yeah, that's
but
then you're
the third quarterback
up, yeah.
cannot be. You can't. They have to be on your active roster.
Oh, is that the rule?
For that rule to apply.
Okay, so then everybody's going to have three quarterbacks then, I would think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for that rule that the league meetings just came up with, that. You can have a third quarterback dress and only be ready. I don't know the specific wording, but basically play if the first two quarterbacks go down, kind of like what happened in the 49ers game. That only applies if that third quarterback is on the active roster, not on the practice squad. So it almost feels inevitable that teams are going to.
Yeah.
So basically, it stems from Purdy, right? Had to come back into the game injured because the backup went on concussion. Protocols, and that's not something the NFL wants to see, is injured quarterbacks coming back into games.
Right.
But yeah, I think that bodes well for Tim Boyle's chance of making the roster then. You know, if Streveler has a great camp, maybe you can push him, but Boyle has the Rodgers connection. He knows the offense. He knows Hackett. Like, team's pretty locked in that he'd probably be the QB3, and then Streveler can be on the practice squad still. So, that rule, I think, was probably got universal support, and it's kind of ridiculous that it wasn't a thing already. And you saw the NFL shot themselves in the foot with that, because of the 49ers playoff game against the Eagles was pretty embarrassing, honestly, for the league that even happened. So I think that was a no-brainer. I know a lot of people are mad about
the flexing and the fair catch one,
but yeah, the flexing one is more of a fan thing. The fair catching, like, coaches in the league are pretty pissed about, especially special teams.
Yeah,
coaches.
So what is that new rule specifically?
You can fair catch it from anywhere, and it goes to the 25, I believe.
Yes.
So
right.
Like if you get a good, like, teams would strategize where they would place a kick so you can't kneel it, and it'd be like, you know, down in the 10-yard line or within that, and so it's forcing them to try and make a play, and now they can just fair catch it if they're in the corner, and so it removes a lot of the special teams coordinator's ability to strategize, which you know. I'm not as fired up about that rule as maybe some people in the league are, but yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big change.
Yeah.
Really, the league doesn't want kickoffs, right? It feels like
there's
just too much
violence
on a kickoff. I think they've slowly over time changed the rule after rule after rule to kind of dumb it down, I guess. We haven't talked about Kwon Alexander. Mm. And there is a question in the chat about that. So what's the update? He saw the Steelers last week, right?
Yeah, he visited with the Steelers. As Boy Green pointed out, he had like a rap video that came out where he mentioned something with the Jets in it. So I haven't gotten the vibe that there's anything brewing there. I think the Jets are taking their time, and maybe they're trying to see what they have in this rookie they drafted, Zaire Barnes, and if Jamie and Sherwood can take the next step. I still think they need to bring in a veteran like a Kwan or somebody else, but I don't know. It seems weird to me that they wouldn't have signed him already, because unless he's asking for more than people realize, like, I don't see why they wouldn't have signed him already. The fact that he's visiting with another team means that the Jets haven't guaranteed him anything. He wouldn't have met with the Steelers if the Jets had said, hey, we're going to bring you back. We're just going to like wait a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe they're waiting until post June 1 and when some stuff happens. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he still is on this team in week one. Like, we get to August and he still hasn't signed with anybody. And they're like, hey, Kwan, you want to come in for the minimum? And he's like, sure. But yeah, I haven't heard anything changing anytime soon. So,
based on fan interest, we'll probably do an emergency podcast.
Seriously. Yeah, fans love them some Kwan.
Yeah.
Emma, we miss anything? I think we covered it all.
I believe we hit all the points.
Yes. I mean, who knows? It's the Jets in 5 minutes. We could have missed something pretty big, but let's hope not.
When are we going to do another one of these? Couple weeks? Unless there's breaking news, I think.
Yeah. When's your next?
I love this scheduling the next podcast at the end of the podcast.
Sorry, I just got distracted because I have this Twitter account on alert that tweets out when Taylor Swift tickets become available on resale. Mm. And there's one at MetLife that just came available. And my girlfriend.
All right, so we better end this podcast.
And I want to get it.
All right. All the Swifties out there.
Yeah.
By the way, and she's originally from, Reading, PA, or Wyoming, right. Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Home of the Reading Phillies.
The show in Philly was 3.5 hours.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're paying a lot of money, but it's worth it.
Well, the minimum right now on StubHub, the minimum right now on StubHub is like $2,000. So.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So. Well, if you go, Zach, you need one of those cool outfits.
Oh, yeah. Because, oh, yeah. I'm going to got to get like sparkly, like heart sunglasses, all the good stuff.
A sparkly hat, maybe something like that. Yeah, exactly. Off-season Zach.
I'm glad you support me, Marissa. Thank you.
I love it. Yes.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining another episode of the Can't Wait podcast. We will be back with you eventually, probably in 2 weeks, I would imagine, as we'll see how the off season rolls along. If you want to join The Athletic, you can do it right now. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. You can join for $1.99 a month. And then there's another deal, $19.99 for a year for Mother's Day, Father's Day, and graduation. It's theathletic.com/gift sale. To get that deal. Either way, we love it if you use Can't Wait because it makes us look good. But either way, we want you to save money as well. We'll talk to everybody again soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.